And reading once again this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are an Easter people. We are a people who rejoice in new life, but struggle with times of decline and times of death. Remind us, O God, that new life only comes through a grain of wheat falling to the ground, that new life only comes through sacrifice, decline, and death. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So I want you folks to be the first to know, I'm going to be the next dean of St. James Cathedral, downtown Toronto. You laugh, eh? Really? I was there for an organ recital this week, and I decided I really should have been Anglican, like my mother. You know, they have way bigger and better buildings and pipe organs than we have, don't they? And I like their vestments, too, you know, their dress-up clothes. And I've always thought that swinging that incense around would be a lot of fun, too. But I guess at this point in my career, there might be a few obstacles to overcome to fulfill that particular dream I have. So I guess maybe I'll pass. And really, if you want to talk about beautiful sanctuaries and lovely pipe organs, I would say we sort of hit the jackpot here at St. John's. In fact, you know, when I thought about accepting the supply position here, one of the things I did was to come and sit in the sanctuary alone to discern if God was really here. I have trouble, you see, finding God in any sanctuaries built after 1960. Now, I imagine God is still there, unless he doesn't like modern church architecture either. but I just don't really feel a deep spiritual connection with God without a pipe organ and beautiful stained glass windows. When I answered the call to ministry 39 years ago this spring, I never dreamt that within my lifetime, our United Church would be facing a crisis. I sort of imagined myself working till 65 and retiring on an amazing pension and living out my golden years in luxury. Well, maybe not quite, but it never crossed my mind that the very churches that we were planting in my childhood would then be closing before the end of my ministry. I have to say, I'm rather glad that my years of ministry are winding down rather than just starting up, as I think it must be a rather frightening proposition these days to be starting out in ministry. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground. This passage comes around every 3 years in our lectionary. And as I looked back at old sermons, not to copy them, just to see what I had said 3 and 6 years ago, I was amazed at my change in attitude during those 6 years. 6 years ago, I was still fighting against the statistics. My then congregation was still relatively healthy, and I was able to find enough excuses for lower attendance to convince myself that the statistics didn't really apply to us. But 3 years ago, I could see my first tentative willingness to admit that there is reason for concern in the institutional church. So let me tell you where I find myself today. I have decided that I refuse to give in and give up. So if over the next few years I talk a little bit more about our givings, because I include myself among those who need to be challenged to give more to the ministry of this congregation. I don't talk about money just because I want to retire in luxury. It's not just because I need a job. It's because I have a deep passion for spreading the love and grace of Jesus Christ. I believe that our world, especially at this moment, badly needs a touch of saving grace. It needs a touch of hope for the future. And I believe that the Christian church has something to offer. And I believe that we have a viable and exciting ministry to share with our neighbors here in Oakville. Over the next year, we'll be renewing our vision for the future that we developed 5 years ago. And along with this 10 a.m. worship spot that I know many of us love, and along with the success of Messy Church, and along with our changing of the seasons and other worship services in our garden, we will need to take very seriously other ways to minister to and with people who still have a very deep spiritual need, but are not necessarily looking for a traditional way to live it out. It can't be all about doing things the way they've always been done, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground. I love winter. Or maybe to be clearer about that, I try to make the best of all seasons, and if winter actually is winter, with lots of snow and delightfully crisp, cold, snowy days, then I choose to enjoy it. But at this time of year, when the ski hills are either pure slush or ice, and the rinks are good one day and pools of water the next day, I just want it to be over. I'm sure you folks don't feel the same way at all. And you know, as I age, I dream more and more about winters spent strolling the Champs-Élysées or, spending time on the beach at the Florida Keys. I just want to enjoy the season of growth and renewal, and I'd prefer to skip the whole season of darkness and death. But we have to admit that when we live through the darkness, like we do here in Canada, when we have those months where we wake up day after day in darkness and we go home from work day after day in darkness, when we watch those beautiful plants in the fall wither and die, then we have to admit that we then embrace the joy of those first spring days so fully, do we not? When Jesus talked about his impending death, the disciples' sense of desperation was tangible. Even then, the fear was that the faith would die, that the movement of Jesus' love and grace would cease. Those disciples were terrified. And yet, so many times the Christian church has faced a crisis, and instead of death, we have endured transformation. So let's not lose hope just yet, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground. But let's not be naive either. We simply cannot afford to limp to the future, whining about the way things are, longing for the good old days and throwing up our hands in despair. If we truly believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we truly believe in the transformative power of his resurrection, if we truly believe in a future not just for this church we love, but for the faith that is the foundation of our lives, then we need to embrace that fully. And we need to start being realistic about the need to explore new ways to be the Church of Jesus Christ here in Oakville. Not the church that we were 175 years ago, not the church that we were 10 or 20 years ago, but like we need and want to be now and for the future. Over the past few months, I've raised some theological questions for you to think about. I've opened the door to conversation about things like how we understand the virgin birth, Jesus' death and resurrection, and other aspects of our faith. Because I do believe we have to be open to conversation about how we understand the basic tenets of our faith. But make no mistake, the reason I raise those issues is in order for our faith to grow stronger and richer and deeper. Since our last presbytery meeting, the one I told you about where I tried to hide in the corner but thankfully woke up and paid attention at one point, I've been exchanging emails with some ministers across Canada who are actually very excited about the future of the United Church and who are dedicated to investing a lot of energy into the possibilities for new growth. I'll be reading many of the resources being shared among the group this summer. And I really hope to come back from my time away more impassioned than ever for the work of this church. but here's what it's going to take. One of the trademarks of a flourishing church that I didn't mention in my sermon a few weeks ago is that of strong congregational leadership. It's not about your ministers. It's not about me. It's not about Kim and what we are going to do. It's about the commitment that each one of you is willing to make to create a collective vision, to dream big, and then to put your enthusiasm and your energy into making that dream come true, into making that vision reality. I don't know what happened to me at the organ recital this week, but I walked away from that inspirational time thinking, I simply refuse to sit back and assume that we will become part of the overall statistics of churches that are on their way out. Absolutely, things are changing and shifting, and we cannot deny that. But out of decline comes new growth. Out of death comes new life. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Thanks be to God for that promise of hope, and may it be so.